You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up, we'll talk to America's Test Kitchen founder, Chris Kimball, about the new company he's starting, which he says will change how people cook.
First, on Monday, Senator Tammy Baldwin joined 23 other senators in a letter to the Food and Drug Administration about the current blood donation policy for men who have sex with other men. The lawmakers say the mass shooting at a gay nightclub in Orlando earlier this month emphasizes the need to allow gay and bisexual men to donate blood. They're asking for the FDA to lift the one-year abstinence from sex requirement for these men before they can donate blood.
Tammy Baldwin joins us now to talk about this issue. She's a Democratic U.S. Senator from Wisconsin. Senator Baldwin, welcome back to Central Time.
It's delightful to join you. Thank you so much for having me.
So why did you feel a need to speak out now on the issue of gay and bisexual men's blood donations?
Well, I've certainly been leading an effort for years on trying to push the FDA to base its policies on science and medicine rather than the way they've approached this before, to categorically deny gay men the opportunity to provide blood donations. And I certainly was moved to speak out again on this after the horrific shooting in Orlando. We all woke up that Sunday morning to hear of 49 dead and 53 wounded, knowing that many were in hospital undergoing surgery, needing blood. And the community of Orlando came out in droves and came to blood donation centers. I saw images on TV of people lined up literally around the block to step forward as fellow compassionate citizens to do what they could, feeling helpless in other ways. One thing they could do is donate blood. And I thought to myself as I watched those images that any number of the people who were lined up to help their fellow human beings were going to be turned away because the FDA has not fully implemented changes to their lifetime ban on gay men donating blood. I've been urging them to shift to a policy that is based on individual risk factors so that any healthy American can donate blood. And, you know, the safety of our blood supply is paramount. But I feel a science-based policy is going to be much better than the outdated, unwarranted policy that exists today.
And when you say a more science-based policy, how has the science advanced since, for instance, the original ban on blood donations from men who have sex with other men during the HIV epidemic in the 80s, and then now this one-year abstinence policy? How has the science advanced in a way that you would feel comfortable lifting even that one-year deferral?
Well, first off, with all other groups of individuals who seek to donate blood, there's an assessment of their individual risk factors. There's a questionnaire that a prospective blood donor fills out, and on an individual basis, they might be turned away. But never are any other groups turned away as an entire group, regardless of the answer to individualized questions. And in most other countries, not all other countries, in the years since the AIDS epidemic first was identified, they have shifted from lifetime bans to bans of shorter duration, and then ultimately the best science dictates that using those individual surveys, we should make individual decisions about who is and who is not eligible to donate blood. I would add also that there are redundancies and safeguards in effect, and that every blood donation is also independently tested, regardless of the questionnaire that was filled out prior to donation.
And how have you made your position known to the FDA, and what specifically are you asking them to do?
Well, starting back when I was a member of the House of Representatives a number of years ago, I was able to gather some of my colleagues to ask questions about what science underpins the policy that was then in effect, and requested the FDA to convene a panel of experts to review the policy, and they review all of their blood donation policies on a periodic basis. And so, you know, take a second look at this. And I'm happy to report that indeed they did, and that there was agreement that the lifetime deferral was not scientifically or medically warranted. What they did then was move from a lifetime deferral to a year deferral, but still they treat a group of Americans differently than they treat all other individuals who would come to donate blood. And, you know, other individuals have risk factors also. I think it makes sense that we look at them individually if we are going to say to the American public that we are focused on having a completely safe blood supply, and we are also encouraging every healthy American to donate.
We're talking with U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin. And Senator Baldwin, turning to another topic that relates to the Orlando massacre, there was action in the Senate earlier this week on gun control. What was the mood like in the Senate on Monday when the four different gun bills were coming to the floor?
You know, I think at first, very hopeful. I participated in the filibuster that occurred on the Senate floor. Those are rare opportunities when an individual senator takes to the floor and holds the floor for a long period of time to raise a point. And the point that was being raised was how many times do we have to wake up to a horrific act of gun violence and see Washington fail to act. And now is the time to close the terror gap and to close the gun show loophole. In tandem, those two policies would make it less easy for potential terrorists to gain, as they did in this case, a weapon of war. I was disheartened and very sad to see the four measures fail. Actually, only two of them in my mind were really steps forward. But it was disheartening to see those fail. And I say that if all Washington can do is agree to disagree, we are lacking the leadership that the American people are demanding in the wake of these catastrophes. I am heartened, though, that another attempt, this time a bipartisan attempt, is being made with regard to the no-fly list. No-fly, no-buy is the nickname that it's been given. And I have yesterday joined my Republican colleague, Senator Susan Collins, in this effort to at least make sure that people who are on the no-fly list cannot purchase a firearm.
There are concerns that people end up on the no-fly list through no fault of their own because they have a similar or same name to someone who does belong on the list, and concerns have been voiced that once someone is on that list, even if they get taken off, that could still infringe on their gun ownership rights. How would you respond to that concern?
Well, when the no-fly list was established, there was a clear understanding that there would have to be the rights to appeal placement on that list. And so those are established, and they have been tried and tested. So with the no-fly list, you already have the due process of an appeal. And I think that that comports well with our very important Second Amendment protections, so that if somebody is wrongfully banned from buying a firearm, that they can challenge that determination through through due process. And it is important that we do that. You know, the background checks in gun stores have been the law of the land for a considerable period of time. Sometimes people get erroneously placed on the standard lists that are checked for the purchase of a long gun or a handgun, say, in the state of Wisconsin. Obviously, there's ways to appeal that also. If your name mistakenly appears on a list that would currently deny one the right to purchase a firearm.
Well, Senator Baldwin, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
I appreciate the opportunity.
That was Tammy Baldwin, Democratic U.S. Senator from Wisconsin. She joined us to talk about her recent letter to the FDA on blood donations from gay and bisexual men, as well as recent gun votes in the Senate.